south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, I'm back in the saddle again after a very successful Expat Insider Seminar. Those things, you know, do tire me out, tire everyone out. I mean, everyone's drinking from the fire hose, and that's a promise. And to set all those things in motion beforehand and make the whole thing click, I'm talking about having it click Latin style at least, you know. In Latin America, everything's subject to change at the last moment. Well, we do our best, and everyone, in fact, on the very last night when we have dinner, we call it the Last Supper, they get to stand up and tell the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great through their own eyes after our week-long experience. The fact is, you do get the fire hose treatment, and there were a lot of people already dragging their butts on the second day. No big deal. That's normal. Well, anyway, had a great group again this time. Smart, courageous, curious, and like-minded, as always. And that's one of the complaints I often get. People say, I can't seem to find like-minded people where I live. They say, I open my mouth about the deteriorating state of things, and I get the deer-in-the-headlights look. Even captive audiences like your brothers, sisters, parents, friends, they think you're this side of nuts when you talk about a plan B, getting your ass and assets to a third world country where you can watch the first world collapse from a nice safe distance. So as for like-minded people thinking that way, well, you generally don't find many in your own neighborhood. Well, of course, thanks to the internet, you can find a lot of like-minded people, but they're virtual people that you'll never know up front and personal. However, at the seminar, you meet nothing but like-minded people. Creative and sort of chance takers too, or they wouldn't be down here. And you know, many of the attendees commented that it was a very cool thing that I invited other expats to some of our dinners and events so they could mingle with everyone and tell some of their own expat stories and adventures. I'm talking about expats who came to previous seminars and ended up living down here. So our seminar attendees didn't have to listen to me ranting and babbling the whole time. Attendees always want to know how newcomers who've moved down permanently are managing with their own plan Bs. What better way than to have some of them around at all times to answer questions for you? And it's true, no one who comes down here permanently checks every box and hits every bullseye. I certainly didn't. When I first came down, I spun my wheels for quite a few years. I'm here to tell you what not to do. That's the most important part of this seminar, by the way. It's really good to know all the mistakes, stupid and otherwise, that newbie gringos make. Mistakes that often cost tens of thousands of dollars in the first couple of years because all of us try to reinvent the wheel. So yes, as you follow along in your own plan B, you will make mistakes, but hopefully not very costly ones because you have been through my Expat Insider Seminar boot camp, so to speak. So in the end, we gathered together another very fine group of like-minded individuals. Of course, when I say like-minded, nobody's a cookie cutter of the next guy. And that's a good thing. I mean, come on, who wants to be in a conversation with someone who agrees with everything you say? And that certainly wasn't the case with these people. But on the general principles, man, were we like-minded. So that said, let me get on with a couple of emails that are pertinent to the situation right now because things are changing fast. I'm talking about up where you are, where, whether you realize it or not, you're getting closer and closer to the edge. The edge of what? Well, mark my words, it won't be pretty. All right, without further ado, let's get to some emails. By the way, it was Shakespeare who repeatedly used that phrase, without further ado. One do's, not two. Anyway, here's an email from Chris on the subject of hygiene and trying to avoid Montezuma's revenge here in Latin America. But first, I should mention, alas, Montezuma's revenge eventually does strike 10 out of 10 backpackers, often multiple times a month or even a week. Because, and I know the culprits, they eat street food because it smells oh so good. I mean, what pieces of roasting charred flesh don't smell good on the churrasquera? Churrasquera is Spanish for the Barbie down here. And of course, if there's one thing I see all the time is backpackers passing fruit and sandwiches and various pieces of food back and forth with their dirty little fingers. Now, you gotta commend them. They share things a lot. And since they're on very low budgets, they eat at the very cheapest places. And joints like that don't have very good hygiene. It stands to reason. I mean, look, paper towels, clean water, and disposables are not priorities with street food vendors and low-budget restaurants. And as they're passing through the market and the vendors are slicing off pieces of melon, mango, oranges, practically everything they got for sale, well, that's when backpackers are in their glory. What better way to get a free meal than to walk through the market and eat up the samples? And here in Latin America, vendors liberally cut off pieces of fruit and hand them out. They want you to try it so you can see how good it is. That means, of course, the vendors are equipped with a nice sharp knife or machete that they also use for cleaning their nails and their teeth. Yuck. And when they're bored, tossing it at a pole or a nearby wall to see if it sticks. And in doing that, of course, it hits the ground multiple times. You can't help that. And inevitably, it's used to scratch various unmentionable parts of the body where the hand can't quite reach. And then they use it to cut the sample and hand it to you. And if you're a backpacker, you always eat it. So when you hear people say, I just love traveling, and Latin America is one of my favorite places, but you'll have to put up with those occasional bouts of Montezuma's revenge, I say, it's your own damn fault. Or they'll fall into that defensive default position and say, well, you see, my stomach flora from Cleveland is not adapted to the stomach flora in Panama City or Tegucigalpa or La Ceiba, Honduras, whatever. And they'll point out the fact that the locals almost never get sick and they're handing out tortillas that land in the dirt, even after a stray dog has taken a chunk out of it. Well, I beg to differ, and I don't beg much, because I have not had a case of Montezuma's revenge for, I can say, 5 years. It's more like 10. Why? Because I don't eat street food. I don't drink anything with ice cubes in it. When I'm in a restaurant, I wipe down the silverware, sometimes the plate. I always drink from a bottle or a can, not from a glass. And when I'm invited to a Latin person's home, I do the same, wipe down the silverware and plate, stealthily, because that would really offend the host, I think. And I don't drink anything that's prepared in a pitcher and poured into a glass, unless I'm in a first world franchise, 4-star hotel or restaurant. And even then, I'm hesitant to do it. Now, here's the thing about eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner in Latin America. Almost every restaurant, from street vendors to $2 a lunch hole-in-the-wall places, all the way up to 4-star restaurants and international franchise hotels, they have what they call executive lunches. So you pay one amount and you get everything. And by the way, those things range from, let's say, $1.50 to maybe $10 in a 4-star international restaurant. You get the main course, a salad, dessert, and a beverage. And usually the beverage is something like lemonade or some orange concoction, tons of sugar in it, or a natural local Latin American beverage called Rosa Jamaica. It's kind of a reddish purple drink, and it's actually hibiscus tea made from the petals of the hibiscus flower. And admittedly, it's very good for you, except in Latin America, they pile on the sugar. At least it's not artificial. Or high fructose corn syrup. You can't even get that here, which is a blessing. Oh, I take that bet. You can at Walmart. Remember Caro syrup? That's high fructose corn syrup. So yeah, you can get it at Walmart. Isn't that nice? Oh man, the world is going down the drain, huh? So anyway, when you order an executive lunch from any restaurant, the drink you get is almost always pre-mixed in a pitcher and poured into a glass, and I won't drink it. I'll order a club soda in a can or a bottle. So almost always I'll order sparkling water in a can or bottle, not from the automatic dispenser behind a bar, nor will I have it in a glass. And down here, they call that agua mineral, mineral water, or agua con gas, you know, water with gas. However, pretty much any time there's a fiesta or a house party or a backyard party barbecue, you'll see that hibiscus tea called Rosa de Jamaica. And they'll throw ice cubes in it. So if you want to try it, it's good. Except, forget the ice cubes. And if you happen to be in the mood for an executive lunch, that would be Almuerzo Ejecutivo. They're recommended. And they are a very good deal over the a la carte price on the menu. Because you get everything. Salad, dessert, main plate, some kind of drink poured from a pitcher into a glass of ice. That's the part I avoid, and I also avoid salads. So instead, I usually order steamed vegetables or something that's been heated. But back to the drink that's poured from a pitcher into a glass. It could be overly sugared orange juice, lemonade, hibiscus tea, oversugared anything. And sometimes they'll offer you a very strange drink called horchata. Horchata starts with an H. It looks like slightly dingy milk with little things floating in it. Always a bad sign, huh? Again, it's always way too sweet for my taste, and I'll never drink it with ice cubes. Though it's plant-based and could have a lot of different things in it. Like, for example, rice, spices like cocoa, cinnamon, sesame seeds, nutmeg, vanilla. I don't drink it because they pour it into a glass. But Latins, man, especially in Central America, they go nuts for this stuff. fact, I understand McDonald's and Starbucks and some other franchises up in the States are actually offering it. Now, I don't know in what form because I hear there are horchata donuts. And obviously, in the cities that have the most Latino population up in the States, you're going to find horchata creeping into restaurant menus. Just like here in Latin America, when you go to a traditional franchise fast food place like Kentucky Fried or Taco Bell, McDonald's, whatever, on the breakfast menu and sometimes in the lunch and dinner menu, they'll have rice, tortillas, beans, and get this, plátanos, you know, plantains. By the way, plantains, which are those very hard and big bananas that you really can't eat like a banana. They have to be cooked some way or another. Man, those things are the greatest source of fiber. And I'll tell you a dirty little secret, and it's kind of dirty. A high percentage of gringo expats who've jumped off the treadmill up north come down with gastric and intestinal problems. You know, irritable bowel syndrome and all that stuff. And guess what? I can't tell you how many times gringos have mentioned this. Turns out, if they just have one plantain in the morning, you know, for breakfast, cooked whichever way, the easiest way I've found is to cut them up in little slices and fry them in 100% pure coconut oil. Well, I've been told over and over again, one plantain in the morning keeps the gastrointestinal problems away. I mean, they're gone. In other words, they make you regular. And I like regular people, don't you? What could be cheaper and easier than that? One plantain in the morning? And eventually, there go your gastrointestinal problems. At least you'll notice a difference. Of course, those are only testimonials, but what do you have to lose? And you know, a long time ago when I lived in Chicago, I never did see a plátano. They just weren't on the menu in lily white Chicago suburbs. In those burbs, you didn't see them in supermarkets, but you did see them on the menu, soggy ones, at Mexican restaurants. In fact, I think I only tried the soggy ones once, and they were kind of disgusting. Because what Latins do is they pile on the sugar and the syrup. They won't eat them any other way. Now, if you skip the sugar and fry them up in pure coconut oil, without the sugar, Latinos are hesitant and they'll wanna throw some sugar on them before they eat them. However, when I insist that they try them without the sugar, they can't believe how good they are. Because piling the sugar on is just tradition here. You know how up in the States, some people will salt everything without even trying it first. It's just, let's salt it, you know? That's exactly how Latinos are with sugar. They throw it on everything. And we all thought gringos had a sweet tooth. You know, according to stats, just look them up, the average American eats well over 100 pounds of sugar a year. And Latinos, man, I tell you, it's got to be double that. And that's always how it's been, especially since sugarcane grows practically everywhere in Latin America, along roadsides, city lots, garbage dumps, you name it. And what the kids do, mostly the poor kids, is they'll crack off a piece and suck it all day. What do kids know? It's sweet and it's free. Oh, and by the way, about this epidemic of obesity here in Latin America, you'll notice that there are a hell of a lot more obese people in the Altiplano than there are on the coast and in the lowlands. That's because in the Altiplano, people have access to the usual suspects, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, the fast food joints, junk food, and what they call chatarra. That would be like Doritos, Cheetos, Coke, and Pepsi. The fact is, in the lowlands and on the coast, where the weather is extremely hot and humid, people are sweating all the time. And in the factories and the building trades, those people are sweating their asses off. So they're burning a lot more calories than the people in the Altiplano, who might have exactly the same diet, which is notably a perverted diet compared to when I first came down here 20-something years ago, where the only internationally franchised fast food joints around were McDonald's, Domino's Pizza, and Burger King. Forever after known down here as Burger, without the King, Burger. But now, even IHOP, Krispy Kreme, Dairy Queen, and Carl's Jr. have landed, and 50 others. So anyway, if you're hanging out at the beaches in Latin America, you'll see people that are a lot skinnier than you will in the Altiplano, where it's real easy to just sit back and pork down and not even break a sweat. So, on that same subject of trying to avoid Montezuma's revenge at all costs, we hear from Chris, who says, Johnny, I thought you might like this tip regarding hygiene in Latin America. Gary Null, by the way, he really is the Renaissance Man International Health Guru. Oh, and as for me, Johnny, I only listen to 2 or 3 podcasts regularly myself, and his is one of them. Anyway, Chris says in his email, when Gary Null is in a restaurant, he'll squirt a little lemon on his napkin and then wipe down the silverware with that, being that the acid in the lemon kills the germs in the silverware. Man, is that a good idea or what? I like that. So even though what I'm doing really seems to work, to me, doing that lemon thing is just a little extra insurance. Oh, and did you know there's no distinction here in Latin America between lemons and limes? They've only got one type, and they're not yellow. They're green, and they're called limones. And if you do see yellow lemons, they're usually imported or lemons, which are green down here, gone bad. Though there is a fruit that's green that looks just like a lime but slightly smaller. It's called a lima, like Lima, Peru. Never saw those up in Chicago before. Now, they're not nearly as common as limones. Limones are lemons, though they look like limes, only larger. So they've got lemons, but they're green. And they've got limas that are green too and smaller. But no yellow lemons like you and I were used to up in the States. Unless, again, they've been imported or they're green limes that have gone bad. Confused yet? Now, about those limas. They look like limes that are a lighter shade of green. Kind of sweet. No, not sweet like a tangerine or an orange, but it's just not bitter like a lemon. By the way, here in Latin America, you'll find people are absolutely addicted to lemons. You'll see them sucking on them sometimes in the street. Something you and I would never do up in the States. I mean, a lemon, in fact, where I come from in Chicago, we're not much around the house at all. They were a summer thing for the occasional lemonade or for salads. And dentists here will tell you that's one of the big problems they have with the population. The people that suck on lemons and lemon peels all day. A lot of the minimum wage types, factory workers, grunt workers, car mechanics, construction workers, will suck on lemons continuously, or at least the peel. And in time, that strips the enamel off of your front teeth. And man, is that a problem, especially for people who can't afford to go to the dentist and only go when it hurts. I don't know how they do it. Suck on lemons all day? Back in Chicago, if you told someone to suck on a lemon, that was kind of a soft insult. Well, that'd be doing something normal in Latin America. I mean, really, if you told them to go suck a lemon, they'd suck a lemon. Probably a couple of them, and they'd like it. Oh, man, I mentioned my hometown Chicago a couple of times in this show, and man, I don't ever want to go back there. Seems like everything that comes out of the media these days, alternative and otherwise, is bad news about my hometown. But now, today, there's an article that just might be the topper for me. All right, here goes. It says, 63-year-old father of 43 children found beaten to death in his Chicago home. I'll say no more. Draw your own conclusions, but that'd be reason 4,236 why I never want to go back to Chicago, not even to visit. The question is, how many of those 43 children are you supporting? And the corollary to that is, how many do you think get a Christmas or birthday present from dear old dad? Did I say dear old dad? Well, he is now. Which reminds me of an old street corner philosopher slash drunk I used to see around Chicago when I was a kid. I remember he said once, I don't understand why men give out cigars when kids are born and women are so ecstatically happy when they're pregnant. Because he said, having a kid is the easiest thing in the world. Any moron or imbecile can do it, even when they're drunk. Probably mostly when they're drunk. Hey, a lot of smart drunks out there. Look at the Irish poets. But I digress significantly on that one. But back to the food and food safety thing. Here's another email. I'm going to paraphrase this a bit because I can. Hey, I try to make these shows a bit interesting because, you know, you got a lot to choose from. There's a million podcasts on the dial and other things to do. Little shock value, little chaos is good for the soul, huh? Anyway, he says, Johnny, for the big produce markets all around Latin America, would you say that small, medium, or large numbers of farmers are using toxic Monsanto or Monsanto-like products such as Roundup Ready and others? Or perhaps they're using toxic products similar to those, maybe clones that are much cheaper. Same thing goes for Latin American dairy farmers and those that make the commonly sold local cheeses. Cheddar clones, mozzarellas, white banana leaf wrapped cheeses and such. And Johnny, what about bovine growth hormone? Then he talks about eggs. He says, would you say that most eggs are from local, non-caged, healthy chickens? That is, if they are those tiny factory farm cages, do they get out and about? Not of the stunted leg variety they have up in the States that can't even walk because they're living in a sort of 1 by 1 foot constricted area their entire lives? Thanks, Johnny. Like your opinion on that one, Mr. AD. All right, let's take these things one at a time. First off, you'll be surprised how many organic farms there are here in Latin America now because good, healthy eating seems to be catching on, at least with the more educated and intelligent members of society, no matter where they are. In fact, at my expat insider seminars, we make a point of eating at least one restaurant that is directly attached and part of an organic farm. So whatever's on your plate, except if you're eating meat, is coming directly from what you see in your own field of vision. Of course, the meats are all organic too. Though in that particular case, they don't raise livestock. Anyway, since there are so many organic farms throughout Latin America, you'll always be able to find one or two nearby. Just check the internet or go to one of the big markets and ask around. Of course, if you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, you'll have to know some Spanish. However, if you're on or near the Gringo Tourist Trail, people will speak English and you'll find an even larger cluster of organic farms. Why? Because gringos and expats are more in tune to that style of life, and so those niches have been found and filled. By guess who? Well, not Latinos, mostly gringos and Europeans. So to answer AD's first question about Monsanto saturating the crops at markets here in Latin America, all you have to do is go to one of those organic farms. Like I said, they're all over the place, and ask one of the people working there, preferably one of the owners or partners, which locally grown foods at the market have been hit with Monsanto or other noxious pesticides and inorganics. They'll know, all right. They're up on that stuff more than anyone. That's why they're in business. They're filling that organic niche. Being that it's almost always knowledgeable first world people who start these farms, they know their competition well. So go up there, open your mouth, and ask them. Now, as for Latin American dairy farmers, you can ask the same question to those organic growers. But I can tell you this, I see cows all the time roaming the streets out in the boonies. Yep, just last night I almost clocked one. They do have the right of way, you know. Or let's just say you're not going to win in a game of chicken with a cow. And you know, you find out the hard way. Laying on the horn, yelling, or waving your arms has absolutely no effect on a cow's speed or direction. And even when they're moving, and they move awful slow, more than likely, they'll just stop right there in the middle of the road, size things up, and take a dump. You think they look dumb, but they know how to piss us off. Because guess who's going to drive through that stuff and track it up the driveway and into the garage? Oh, by the way, how many times a month do you get your car washed, and what does it cost up there in Cleveland? I'm bringing it up because, you see, if you have a maintenance guy or gardener here, you'll find out when you hire him, if you don't tell him otherwise, he'll wash your car every single day, even in the rainy season. Now, I'd say that's a little excessive, but they do. It's something that's ingrained into him. I don't know how it got there. Maybe from previous Latin bosses who forced it on him. I don't know. Just note that when you first hire one, he'll wash it every day unless you tell him otherwise. And believe me, after about 6 months, there just might not be much paint left on the car. But where were we? Oh, yeah. Cows. Well, I see them all over the place, and I almost never see them with a tag in their ear. Like you see up in the States, you know, giant corn-fed cattle farms and such, where every cow's got multiple little staples in his ears, signifying some kind of chemical hormone or injection. You just don't see that down here. They don't have gigantic cattle farms. Though if you're out in the boonies, you'll see them free-ranging all over the place. And it's those big cattle farms you've seen in documentaries and pictures that are almost exclusively delegated to first world countries. Though I understand in Argentina, since beef is one of their top five exports to the world, they are starting to copy the first world and pinning in their cattle tighter and closer. And I'm also hearing that since first world people prefer marbled steak, corn-fed beef, that is. Well, that's unnatural, we know. But it's all about the market and what U.S. consumers demand. And that's not what the locals want, nor are they used to. All right, now for the incredible edible egg question. You know, if you go to a regular supermarket, supermercado or Walmart, whatever, you're going to have your pick of factory farm eggs. Though once in a while, you'll find some much smaller eggs there that are labeled organic. But finding them is more than spotty. So that's why I always recommend you buy at one of the local little tiendas. You know, those hole-in-the-wall little places that are all disorganized, kind of scruffy, lights burned out. They sell everything from bread to rat poison to fireworks. And of course, all the off-brand junk food, too. That's half the price of the first world stuff. Oh, and they always have a tiny little produce section, too. Hey, and don't look down your nose at it either, because they always get the freshest stuff. Because you'll see early in the morning, dilapidated old pickup pull in. So dented, twisted, and rotted out, you wonder how the thing manages to turn over every day. But it's loaded with all kinds of produce, and it's fresh. Direct from very local farms. So you can't go wrong at all buying produce there, as long as it's not sitting right next to the rat poison. Hey, you never know. Anyway, those little tiendas always have fresh farm eggs. Yep, you'll often see a dilapidated pickup pull up just chock full of eggs, too. And generally, those are not big factory farm egg operations. In fact, not so long ago, I asked one of those egg truck drivers how many chickens he had. He said, about 200. And I said, do they get to run around? He said, yeah, and they're hard to catch, too. But like he said, they each put out one nice egg a day, and that's all that's necessary to keep the family business going. And he said they not only have eggs, but melons, papayas, avocados, and watermelon, too. So then, are those eggs really organic? Well, kinda, sorta. Sure, they get to run around the yard eating insects like mosquitoes, nits, and ticks. Yep, they got ticks down here. If you have dogs, you'll find that out, especially if you're out in the county. But not so much as to affect the human population. At least, I've never had a tick, and I've been down here past 27 years now. And I've never heard of anyone with Lyme disease either. Scientists are saying ticks that are Lyme disease vectors don't get this far south. Then again, maybe they don't like me or my blood. Who knows? Not like a lot of other people I know, especially backpackers, who you'll often see walking around in shorts. Bad idea, especially in the lowlands and around water, you know? And at dusk. Why? Well, mosquitoes, of course. Though, believe it or not, the altiplano is pretty much devoid of mosquitoes, except again if you're close to a river or body of water, or it's nighttime. But in the Latin American coastal areas, look out. They got mosquitoes. But then again, there are lots of concoctions that are kind of organic to repel them. Some are good, but they're never quite as good as that good old poisonous neurotoxin DEET, the main active ingredient in things like OFF. All right, so it is recommended you buy your eggs at one of those little tiendas and make sure that they've got little poop and feathers on them, then you know they're not coming from a factory farm. You know, factory farms spray the eggs with a chemical sanitizer, which also makes them a little more brilliant, uniform, and shiny under the glare of Walmart lighting. Hey, you know, it's all about display and placement in the supermarket, right? Aha, but if you really want organic eggs and not pay organic prices, you go to one of the really big produce markets. You'll see they're selling medium and large-sized white eggs, brown speckled eggs too, and you'll see maybe 5 or 10% of the eggs being sold there. Not brown or white ones, but sort of beige-colored. They're never more than medium-sized. If you can find them, those are the ones you should buy. Because generally, those are the eggs brought in by the ladies who sell driveway chickens. Naturally, those driveway chickens lay eggs. They're usually sold in trays of 30, and when I see them, I'll buy 60 at a time. And they cost around 10 cents a piece. Yes, I've quizzed those ladies about their driveway chickens. Those chickens do a lot of their own foraging, although I have to say, they always supplement it with chicken feed by the 100-pound sack. The problem is, the ladies are convinced, by whom I don't know, that the chicken feed provides all the extra nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that their chickens aren't getting from foraging on their own. So even though for 100 million years, chickens simply foraged without a man-made mixture of feed in sight, this is Latin American. People believe authority figures, what they see advertised on TV and what they read, even if they can't read it all.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!